Jump in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
All right, fantasy football fanatics and fantasy football freaks out there. It is a somber edition of the Fantasy Domination Podcast, and good reason why perhaps we shouldn't be recording during the Thursday night games. I am, of course, your host, the coach, and I am here with my co-host, my friend for life, my fantasy football frenemy, Rusty, a man who's also going for an MRI tomorrow morning, as a coincidence. And Rusty, we're a little sad right now, aren't we? Because we just watch excellence end on the field.
Well, we certainly are, Coach. And maybe it's a good thing we were called on Thursday night so we can bring you instant analysis and our thoughts on this. I don't see anything good going on. By the time you're listening to this, we'll probably have a more update on what's going on with Patrick Mahomes. But early in this game, he did done something to that knee, and he dislocated his kneecap. The best case scenarios are sounding so far for the instant reaction is, you know, all the Twitter doctors are out giving their opinion on this injury, and it's like we're talking 4 weeks minimum, potentially, depending how, if there's any other tears in there, we could be looking at surgery. This is just not good for the NFL. It's not good for fantasy players. People just enjoy watching good football. This is a problem because this offense is probably going to go into the tank now because Matt Moore is not very good.
No, and I think, I mean, let's start with a fantasy perspective. If you have Pat Mahomes today, you're optimistically screwed and you're pessimistically really screwed. It's just a question of where that ends up landing. Because that knee, I mean, the good news is, seemed okay-ish after the fact. Like, he's still going to miss time, but it wasn't, you know, a hobble off the field. He's done for the year. You'll see in late 2020. So maybe there is a chance there.
There's some sort of hope, but we're going to know in the next 24 to 48 hours just how bad this is and how much effect this is going to have on the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs offense. I can't see it being good. I mean, they'll have time to adjust next week. But that doesn't change the fact that Matt Moore is not very good. So do they try to get the running game going again? What does this do for the values of Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all those other folks? If you've got Chiefs players right now, you're probably in a bit of a panic like I am. I've got some Kelce shares in some of my leagues. Not feeling great right now. And that's just from a fantasy perspective. Just from an entertaining football perspective, that's another great quarterback, another great player who's down.
So here's the question that's going to be sitting there. Fantasy owners are going to face their own version of this, but when we're talking about the value of the other Chiefs players, it's going to come down to this question. Do you think you can get by with Matt Moore because you have enough weapons on this team, or do you need to go out and acquire a replacement quarterback? Now, if we're going to do that, there are some interesting options out there. I mean, let's say they swing for the fences. What if Carolina's okay with Kyle Allen under center and might be willing to move Cam Newton to avoid a quarterback controversy? That's a crazy big swing. I don't know if that works under the cap, but boy, doesn't that look interesting for the rest of the year.
That would be very interesting. That would solve two problems for Carolina.
Or, and hear me out on this one, what if the Super Bowl contending Kansas City Chiefs replaced Pat Mahomes for the rest of the year with a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Wait.
A guy who's currently ready to play ball, who's not doing anything of consequence right now except holding the clipboard. What if
the
Kansas City Chiefs go out and trade for Eli Manning? Oh. Here's the question. Who says no?
Everybody except you, Coach. My God, what? Stop trying to make Eli Manning a thing on other teams. It's not a thing.
Eli Manning's contract is expiring. He's obviously available because the Giants are moving on. Is Eli Manning going to be worse than Matt Moore? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Probably not.
Can he be better than Matt Moore?
Yes, he could.
Does he have a track record of beating the New England Patriots in the playoffs?
Yes, he does.
So again, I will bring you the question. Who says no?
Are you just going to do this with every team that needs a quarterback until one of the, you get them right, coach? Is that how this is going to work?
I mean, until somebody trades for Eli Manning, yes. But this just, this kind of makes sense.
It does, but I mean, well, here we go. Third quarter starting. We're going to get to see more of the Matt Moore show. Thank goodness. Maybe this will be better.
Now, see, here's, I'm not sure who said it. I want to say maybe it was Bill Simmons. But talking recently about one of the challenges with the NFL versus like the NBA is you get a guy who's at the end, there's still a way to put him on another team where he can contribute. Happens all the time in the NBA, right?
Carmelo Anthony.
Well, I said contribute. But if we're talking about a guy like an Eli Manning, deserve, you know, he doesn't need to be buried. He deserves to, even if it's sitting on the bench for a Super Bowl contender, where he can maybe come off and pull off a miracle, that's where he needs to be, not sitting on the bench for the New York Giants as they spiral into oblivion. So how do we make that happen?
How do we make that?
I'm like a sixth round pick. I bet that gets the job done.
Trade deadline is coming up soon.
Is New York going to say, no, we want Eli just in case Daniel Jones gets hurt and we need someone to help us coast to a 6-10 season? No.
No,
they'll take Matt Moore. Matt Moore can be the backup quarterback there. Eli Manning, Kansas City Chiefs, could be what they need to take down the Patriots. Because you know who hasn't taken down the Patriots in the playoffs? Pat Mahomes. You know who has?
Eli Manning.
Absolutely. You said it. I didn't.
Twice.
But that one on the board. Championship.
So what you're saying, coach, is people should go make a preemptive pickup for Eli Manning if they're a contending team this year, for just in case he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, honestly, it's not the absolute worst idea if you have a roster spot to spare. It will. One of two things will happen. Either it won't matter. The trade deadline will pass. Eli Manning will still be a Giant, and you can clear that roster spot. Or you are going to look like an absolute freaking genius, and you don't have to tell anyone that the Fantasy Domination Podcast told you to do this.
Oh, no, we want you to tell people the Fantasy Domination Podcast told you to do this. Just tell people who aren't in your league. We'd like the listenership.
Yeah, tell other people. Don't tell your league mates. Let them think you're some sort of brilliant prognosticator. But you'll know, and I'll know, and Rusty, you'll know.
That's right.
That's what happened. Because we are here to help you, friends. We want to bring you a championship. And if Eli Manning can be part of that, we'll take that all the way to the bank.
All right. Well, I think it didn't know how it's possible, but I think I'm a little bit more depressed now after that conversation. Let's move on to some what we were going to talk about, speaking of quarterbacks tonight. We were going to spend the first segment talking about various quarterbacking situations, something we like to call the year of the backup, because of all the backup quarterbacks we're starting to see over the past few weeks be thrust into the spotlight. And now Matt Moore is another example tonight. We were not hoping to talk about that one, but it is what it is. So where do you want to start with this one, Coach?
Well, let's hop back for a second to the most interesting situation of all, which is the Carolina Panthers. I mean, we've got a couple of situations in Carolina and New Orleans where the backup has come in and has been undefeated. You hope kind of if you got to rely on your backup quarterback for a medium stretch that they can at least be a 500 quarterback. Mm-hmm. But we've got Kyle Allen and Teddy Bridgewater, batting 1,000 right now. Mm-hmm. We know what's going to happen in New Orleans. We'll touch on that later. But what is going to happen with the Carolina Panthers? Supposedly, after their upcoming bye week, Cam Newton will be back and healthy and ready to go. Do they put him in, or do they continue to ride Kyle Allen and see, is he just a hot hand, or, and I mean this with no sacrilege, is he the next Tom Brady?
I don't know if I'd call him the next Tom Brady. So I watched a little bit of that game, that London abomination that happened. And Kyle Allen didn't impress me all that much. I know part of this is maybe I have a Cam Newton share here and there in some leagues, but I didn't see a particularly accurate quarterback, but he's managing the game very well, and maybe that's what they need right now. But here's the thing. It comes back to that old, should the starter lose his job due to injury? Now, some would say that Cam Newton should lose his job because he sucked. Well, I don't know. I can't use the term I want to use to right here on a PG podcast. So he did not play very well. Now the question is, do we chalk that up to the injury, or has Cam Newton just lost it? So I think they have a very tough decision to make there. It's certainly hard to argue with the winning. I'd love to know what the players on the team think, because there's the whole, it doesn't send a great message when a starter gets hurt and then comes back and doesn't get to play, but then it worked for the Patriots. So with Brady and Bledsoe back in the day.
And if if you're Christian McCaffrey, if you're DJ Moore, if you're Curtis Samuel, the main skill position players on that team, who do you want? I mean, I think we can say Samuel has looked better with Allen. Moore's still been kind of up and down, but he's had more success with Allen. And McCaffrey is just lights out right now, the best player in the league, mm-hmm. both fantasy and regular. So,
Russell Wilson may have an argument there, but in terms of outstanding offensive playing, Christian McCaffrey and Russell Wilson is kind of a 1-2 right now.
In a fantasy context of who goes first right now, if you're drafting C-Mac. Today,
C-Mac,
McCaffrey is hands down the best.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I mean, I can see a situation where maybe it's time to, if Allen... he may be on a short leash. He may be a one strike and you're out guy. But I don't know if, given the way he's played, he hasn't been spectacular, but he's running North Turner's offense. He's moving the ball. He's getting them into the end zone one way or the other, and they're winning. I don't think you can sit him unless you are 1,000% sure that this is, MVP caliber Cam Newton.
All right. We need to solve a few problems here. We trade Cam Newton to Kansas City. That solves the Matt Moore problem. It solves the Carolina we have too many quarterbacks problem. And it solves the God, we don't want you to be right about Eli Manning going to the Chiefs problem. So it's a win-win-win for everybody. Our listeners, the Chiefs, the Panthers, and the fantasy audience.
I just don't see how that works cap-wise. That would be the biggest hang-up there. Plus, I mean, what Cam Newton is probably on the hook for multiple years. It's not, again, with the Eli situation, he's done at the end of the season. All he's got to do is come in, play the 1 year, and he's out the door, win or lose.
All right. Let's move on to the New Orleans Saints before I get further depressed and drink heavier. You make my alimony payments more enjoyable.
All right. By the way, Cam Newton looks like he has one more year after this.
All right.
So, I mean, the good news is they're still paying Mahomes a rookie contract, so they could fit it in. Or, take the chance, pick him up for this year, and then try to move him in the offseason. But it ain't going to be pretty.
All right, then.
Let's stay within that division. Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints for a minute, because we know Drew Brees is coming back. We know that's Drew Brees' team for as long as he wants it to be. So is Teddy Bridgewater setting him up for a big money contract? Could he end up, with Tennessee Titans next year? Or, I think we've said this now for about 5 or 6 years. Maybe this is, Drew Brees just decides to walk away at the end. And if he does, well, in this case, Teddy Bridgewater is perfectly situated to stay there and take over.
I thought Teddy Bridgewater was kind of signed to be the heir apparent to Drew Brees. I know this is the whole Taysom Hill thing, but that was my understanding. So I don't know. Maybe they hold on to him because Drew Brees doesn't have much time left.
It used to be when you had a quarterback who was into his mid-30s that you wanted to have the heir apparent there. Now, who knows? We thought Jimmy G was the heir apparent to Tom Brady. we've thought a few guys were the heir apparent to Tom Brady. He just keeps going. Drew Brees is kind of the same way.
That one seems a little more crystal clear to me. I think it's what you were saying. Like, Drew Brees, it's his team when he comes back for as long as he wants it. is not quite as up in the air and gray as perhaps the Carolina situation is. But we need to talk, Coach, about the most interesting team that just switched their quarterback this week. The era of Marcus Mariota may appear to be finally over for the Tennessee Titans.
For anyone who's tuning in for the first time, that's my co-host Rusty falling asleep at the mere mention of the Tennessee Titans.
Derrick Henry, this is so bad.
All right, I'm going to step in here. The Tennessee Titans are just boring. Mariota had a couple of decent games at the beginning of the year, but he just hasn't had the kind of consistency over his career that you want. And they're coming to a decision point. Do they move on from Mariota and go back into the draft pool? You know, maybe they're a player for one of the rookie quarterbacks. Tannehill is not the answer. He wasn't the answer in Miami. He's not going to be the answer in Tennessee. I was just still talking about the Titans there.
Oh, I'll go back to bed then for a while.
Yeah. So at best, if they stay with Tannehill, that tells you you can just dump your Mariota shares. Maybe he lands with some other team on a backup deal, and he becomes next year's Ryan Tannehill.
Forward lateral.
Otherwise, I mean, you shouldn't have stock in Tennessee Titans anyway. If there's one thing you've learned from the Fantasy Domination podcast, it's that we don't buy shares in Tennessee Titans players. Moving on. And we're going to, I think we're also staying in the same division. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, Minshew Mania.
All right. Minshew Mania, which, I mean, much like Linsanity, Minshew Mania seems to have peaked and is now ebbing. But, I mean, it was a fun ride while it was there. Uncle Rico, the mustache, et cetera, et cetera.
Is he turning back into a pumpkin?
It'll be interesting when Foles is ready to come back, I guess next year, what direction they want to go. I mean, if they want to keep Minshew as the starter, he's dirt cheap, so they can afford to keep an overpaid Nick Foles as a backup. Or do they say, you know what, this was like Linsanity, but we're ready to move on, like with Linsanity, and just stick back with Nick Foles at QB and see what happens. I think that, I mean, as we know with this week with the trade of Jalen Ramsey, this is a team whose window has closed. They've still got some outstanding defensive pieces, but that offense is not there. Leonard Fournette is better this season, but he's not a playoff game winning running back. And your wide receivers, I mean, you've got DJ Chark, who's had his moments. Beyond that, what else do they have on offense? So take the picks from the Ramsey deal, start rebuilding, maybe keep Minshew, maybe Nick Foles becomes trade bait next year. I don't know.
That was a terrible trade by the Rams, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
We'll get to that in a second so you can vent. But yeah, I think if you're, so from a fantasy perspective, I mean, might as well hold on to Gardner Minshew, see what he can become. If they can get some more players around him, I think that's what it comes down to. DJ Chark and Dede Westbrook and Leonard Fournette's not going to scare any defensive coordinator. So let's see what can happen if they opt to go with Minshew or stick with Foles. Next year's draft is loaded with wide receivers. They can stock up on a couple of good ones. You know, maybe get them, use their picks to get them into position for Jerry Jeudy and go from there. Give that team some offensive weapons. See what can happen with whichever quarterback. I'd hold on to Minshew. He's got acceptable backup value this year, and see what he can be going forward. And now you want to talk, even though we don't really get into IDP or things like that, I'd like to, Rusty, give you the floor to talk a little bit about your feelings on the Jalen Ramsey trade.
It's a terrible trade. You know what? When you're having trouble with getting your offense going, Jared Goff is turned into a pumpkin before our very eyes, and your offensive line cannot block. Your running game is not working. Everybody's playing the book is out on you, and you are not making adjustments to the six wide formation that people are running against you, and your offense is just in the tank. What do you go out and do when you're having so many problems on the line with your offensive skill players? You go out and get a cornerback for 2 first-round draft picks. What in the God's name are they doing in St. Louis? No, Los Angeles. What are they doing with the Rams right now? That is such a high price to pay, and you are giving so much money to Jalen Ramsey. I've been seeing people talk about this. The amount of money they have in the top end of their roster now is ridiculous, and as guys get hurt, they can't do anything. So I don't understand. What, like, I understand he's a game-changing player. Very good cornerback. I get that. Is he really with 2 first-round picks and you are just mortgaging your future for God knows how long now? I don't understand. I don't understand the return and why they thought that was a good deal for them. And it doesn't solve their problems.
Well, and they traded away Marcus Peters, who was the last guy that they brought in to be their elite shutdown corner. And that clearly didn't work out.
They don't know. They don't have a plan. The Rams don't have a plan. Sean McVay can't make simple adjustments to his offensive scheme. The front office clearly doesn't know what the heck they're doing anymore. And they're playing Los Angeles in front of, 20,000 people maybe. But Cease is still doing better than the Chargers. My goodness. Did you see that game on Sunday? Was it Sunday, Monday night? I can't remember which one.
The Pittsburgh home game in Los Angeles?
Yes,
I did.
The Pittsburgh home game in Los Angeles in their MLS stadium. My goodness. What a terrible mistake that was. And I'm getting off of fantasy here, but I'm just on a rant now. Why do you go to Los Angeles? You are not drawing fans. Los Angeles does not want football. They want USC. They don't want NFL football. This is what happens. You stupid owners are getting exactly what you deserve.
Yeah, right, I'm done. We'll see where that one ends up. That's a whole conversation on its own. Yeah. We're gonna take a break in just a second, but I want to share with you a very fun fact about the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh, fun facts are always good.
So you know how most teams now look, in this area of statistical analysis and quantum mechanics and whatever we call it, quantitative evaluation. Teams are looking to get rookie players under contract because they provide a better value than when you have to go into second and third contracts with these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the LA Rams drafted Jared Goff with the first overall pick in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have a pick in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have a pick in 2018. We're talking first rounders. They did not have a pick in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
They have traded their 2020 and 2021 picks in the Jalen Ramsey deal. So after taking a quarterback with the first overall pick, they will not have a first-round pick to surround him with additional talent for the next 5 years afterwards.
Good job, Rams. Excellent work.
I swear, Bill Belichick put the voodoo curse on this team last year in the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
He didn't just break them. He broke them.
It's amazing.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break.
All right, part two, Fantasy Domination Podcast. We spend a little bit of more time talking about quarterbacks and going on rants about how terrible the Los Angeles football teams are. So to try to keep us roughly to our 30-minute goal, because, again, you give us 30 minutes, we give you a championship. Anything is bonus, obviously. But we're going to go through this week's slot of games. So we're going to do a lightning round style where we're going to give a game, and both Coach and I are going to give our off-the-top-of-our-head thoughts, whether it be about a player or what we think about the game as a whole, and we're just going to do this for every single game. So are you ready, Coach, for lightning round?
I am good to go.
All right, here we go. First up, 5-0 San Francisco 49ers traveling to Washington to face the 1-5 professional football team from Washington.
Amateur football team. Washington sucks. Play your 49ers. Don't play your Redskins.
But what about Terry McLaurin, the F1? I'm gonna roll with him, Coach. I got no other options in certain leagues. But
take your chance there. He's the only guy you'd consider playing off that offense.
And I think that's my thought. This will be one of those is Terry McLaurin for real type of games. Arizona 2-3-1 traveling to face the New York Football Giants at 2-4.
This game could be surprisingly high scoring because neither of these teams are very good, but they have some exciting playmakers on offense, especially if Saquon Barkley actually plays and plays at speed. I wouldn't be shocked to see some fun numbers put up here. So given that there's some bye week concerns this week, maybe you want to get your skill players off these teams in the games.
I absolutely agree with that. Keep an eye out for what's going on in the Arizona running back situation. If David Johnson can't go, Chase Edmonds is looking real fine right now. Do what you can to get a hold of him. 4-2 Houston Texans traveling to face the 3-2 Indianapolis Colts.
I feel like this one's going to be a bit of a tighter scoring game. I wouldn't be shocked if it's like a 17-14 kind of battle as opposed to the hope you would have for the Houston offense. You got to play the guy. You got to play the main guys here, but I wouldn't necessarily expect too much.
T.Y. Hilton has regularly owned the Houston Texans defense the last few times they played. Watch for a big game from him. 3-2 Oakland Raiders traveling to face the 5-1 Green Bay Packers. This is kind of my sneaky potential game of the week, Coach.
It's not mine, but I see where you're coming from. I think the biggest issue with Green Bay is that nobody on that offense is healthy right now, and they're on their 17th string wide receiver, who
Alan
could end
Lazard.
Up still being 100 yards and a score kind of day.
Alan Lazard, the Lizard King. Mock it down. Again, Alpha League, I may need him this weekend. So, but don't sleep on the Oakland Raiders, because everyone makes fun of Gruden and whatnot, but they haven't looked all that bad, and he knows offensive football still, apparently. So I think this has sneaky potential. 4-2 Minnesota travels to the Dome to take on the 2-2-1 Detroit Lions.
This is my sneaky good fantasy game of the week.
I like it too. I like
There's
it.
You know, Minnesota seems to have come around since Kirk Cousins hit rock bottom. The Lions have some sneaky good potential. I think they're one of those teams that's right on the cusp of having to rebuild everything. Mm-hmm. But for now, they can put up some numbers. Neither of these teams are especially defensively strong. So I think we could see this one really turn interesting. And hopefully neither of these teams get screwed at the end.
Yeah, poor Detroit. I don't need to go on another rant about the officiating, because that was terrible. But Detroit also could not finish a drive on Monday night, and that was part of why they lost. Yes, the officials were a big part of it too, but how many field goals did they kick? I was going against freaking Prada in a lot of leagues, so I was definitely keeping an eye on that. So see if they can actually finish some drives this week. 2-4 Jacksonville traveling to face 0-6 Cincinnati. If you've got Jacksonville, guys, this might be the week to do it, because Cincinnati's not good.
No, this might be the one day when I'm actually saying Leonard Fournette is worth playing.
0-5 Miami, traveling to face the, careful now, 4-1 Buffalo Bills. Start your Bills.
All right. Yeah, you gotta start your Bills. I don't know which Bills you have, which ones you want to start. I think from a more NFL context, this is a real show-me game for the Bills. They've had some good wins. They had that really disappointing loss to the Patriots where they could have pulled it out. What we need to see here is the Bills come out hard. We need them to come out fast. And we need them to put their foot on the throat of the Dolphins and run up the score.
Absolutely.
Anything less than like 30-plus points from the Josh Allen-led offense, I would almost consider disappointing.
I'm starting Josh Allen in one of my leagues this week.
It's a good play.
I had Jared Goff. That's part of the problem, but he has a good matchup as well. We're going to get to that. Actually, that's our next game, because he's got Atlanta. Actually, let's go to it. 3-3-3 Los Angeles Rams, the stupid team, but they're traveling to the Dome to Atlanta to face the 1-5 Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons cannot stop anybody on defense. So this could be a potential get right game for Goff and the Rams offense.
I agree. And we're also seeing sneaky MVP on a crappy team, Matt Ryan. He'll continue to put up great numbers this week. He's been an elite quarterback this year, because that team is so terrible.
Are you worried about Jalen Ramsey as a Julio Jones owner?
I mean, I'm not right now, because we know Jalen Ramsey has been beset by so many injuries towards the end of his run in Jacksonville that it's probably going to take him at least, 4 or 5 weeks to get back up to full health and full speed. I'm sorry, did the sarcasm come across there? He was lying. He was lying the whole way.
You know what? The next time I have back problems, Coach, I'm just going to get myself traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Los Angeles Rams, because this seems to have done wonders for Jalen Ramsey.
It is a miracle cure.
Try to stop me from falling asleep on this one. The suddenly bad Los Angeles Chargers, or the Chargers of Los Angeles, who nobody goes to watch them, are on the road like they are every week to face the 2-4 team that puts me to sleep. I'm not going to say the name because I'll just snow through the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a good game to watch. I think the Los Angeles / San Diego Chargers they're hitting that wall. It's been a good run for Phil Rivers. He might have still a couple more seasons in him, but that's a team that needs to tear it down and rebuild because they've come to the end of this. You know, they've got some nice players, but they're not a great team. I don't know if they're well coached. They just manage to lose games consistently year after year, whether it's special teams or offense or defense. Somebody's always costing them. Who knows what's going to happen this weekend, but I ain't going to be watching.
You don't want to watch the beginning of the Ryan Tannehill era?
No.
4-2 Baltimore travels to 5-1 Seattle, which is maybe the NFL game of the week, looking at the records at least. And I think this one has potential to have some decent fantasy numbers as well. I think this would be interesting. This would be one of those, hey, Lamar Jackson, you're facing a little bit better defense and you're on the road. Show me what you got.
I think so. I'll be watching this one for sure on Sunday afternoon. I like Seattle. I don't know if Baltimore's got enough to pull it off. Seattle's just rolling. You know, Russell Wilson, MVP. Chris Carson, if he can stop fumbling the dang ball. He's looking like an all-pro. Everybody on that team is producing the way they need to produce. They're still a little light on talent compared to, say, their Super Bowl years. But as long as Russell Wilson is just knocking it out of the park week after week, this is as scary a team as any in the NFL.
He's amazing this season. It's just incredible. 5-1 New Orleans travels to the 3-2 Chicago Bears. This one will be a good test of Teddy Bridgewater.
I think so, especially since we don't know what the status of Alvin Kamara is for another week. If he's out, this one could get really interesting. I think we'll continue to see good New Orleans performance, but without high-scoring New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And the Bears, who knows? You know, Trubisky's back for this one, right? Probably. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a plus or a minus for this team, but I don't know. If I was a betting man, I'd stay away from this one. If I'm a New Orleans man, I'm playing my main guys if they're healthy. And if I'm a Bears guy, well, I probably got out of the Bears when Mitch Trubisky was drafted as their quarterback.
All right. Philadelphia, Dallas, 3-3 versus 3-3. They're at the Big Star, at the Jared Dome. Sunday night.
Oh, good Lord. All right. This is going to be an interesting game. There's a lot on the line, and I'm going to make the pick now, or the call now, that Chris Collinsworth is going to make this game unwatchable.
Oh, like every game he makes unwatchable. Oh, he's just going to be all over Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott and all the guys in Philly. It's just going to be painful. Painful to listen to. This is one of those games you put the mute button on.
And if Dallas loses, I mean, I don't know if Jason Garrett's seat can get any hotter because it's been hot for years, but he must have material on Jerry Jones that rivals what the Russians have on Donald Trump because there's no reason Jason Garrett should still be a coach in the NFL with his body of work in Dallas. And I know Jerry comes out and says fun, stupid things like, oh, Jason Garrett would be in huge demand on the free agent, you know, if he was out there as a free agent coach. But come on, this team consistently underwhelms year after year after year, despite having great players, good depth. You know, they've had an amazing offensive line, and what did they have to show for it? Squat.
Yeah. I think this one, is, hey, Dallas, are you going to smarten up and do what you do well, or are you going to try and get cute again and play Jason Garrett ball? Finally, I sense a potential trap game here, Coach. 6-0 New England going to 1-4 New York Jets. On paper, it looks terrible, but Donald looked pretty good last week, and they're at the Jets. I don't think it'll happen, but this smells like a potential trap game to me. I still think New England walks away, that they're just too darn good. But I don't know. I think the thing I'm looking forward to this one is, will New England look past this game, and do the Jets have it?
I think the Jets can be competitive. New England is just better than everybody else at this point and will be until the foreseeable end of the universe. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger, more fun question from a fantasy perspective is if I offered you $1 million to pick who on that team might score two rushing touchdowns in this game.
Nope. Can't do it.
I mean, I might pick Philip Dorsett and have just as good a chance as you. Mikhail Harry, and I don't even think he's going to be playing.
Resurrect the ghost of Jim Brown. See if he might come back and score 2 touchdowns for. Is he even dead? I don't even know.
No, Jim Brown is still alive.
We're still going to resurrect his ghost and do that anyways.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis could score 2 touchdowns on Monday night. We'd be like, yep, Belichick again, you know?
Belichick.
What's that? Corey Dillon put up 150 and 2? That Belichick.
Yeah.
Anyway, it should be a good Monday nighter.
Good test for Donald, too.
What the Jets can do. Mm-hmm. They still, and again, that's a team that still needs a lot of work and a lot of talent. But, I mean, they're not nearly as bad as they were last year.
Yep. And now that they got the quarterback back, it's looking good. He's got a pretty nice end. I actually picked up Donald a couple of leagues because take a look at his schedule for the next few weeks after this game. If you're hurting a quarterback, see if he's available. It's pretty nice looking. All right, that's the rest of the games of the week, and I didn't fall asleep talking about that one team. So I think with that, Coach, I think it's time to wrap it up for another week. You got a little bit of bonus time, folks. Do with it what you will and go out and dominate.
And you know what? If you got questions looking ahead to this weekend, hit us up on Twitter. That's the best place to get to us, the FD Pod. Hit us up on email at fantasydominationpodcast@gmail.com. We're here to answer your questions. If you got them, we want to help you win, not just win. What do we want to help them do?
Dominate.
Absolutely. Once again, folks, I am the coach. This is my pal Rusty, and we are a production of Harpoon Media.
Oh, thank you.